victory. This. Every victory, every battle, there is more to come, amen. Who believe that there is more to come for this church? Why don't we give a praise? Why don't we give a loud praise for our God, Jesus Christ? We honor you, Lord. Father, we honor you. We praise you. And we've come this morning just to hear your voice, to see you face to face. Give us the ear and heart to listen to your word. Help us our unbelief so that we can see the truth, that we can be set free for the freedom that you've given us. Give us the revelation, Lord, this morning as we hear your voice. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, just before you sit down, why don't you do this together with me? Say, our God is great. Our God is great. Hey, just before you sit down, still stand up. And then, our God is good. And our God is for me. But you know, you might be facing challenges this morning, like life might come to you. But we just want to be reminded every time lately, I just want to be reminded myself, every time I fail, I face struggle, every time I get to worry, I want to remind ourselves that our God is great and our God is good and our God is for me. Do you know, if He is great, nothing is impossible. He can do anything beyond your imaginations, right? And if He is good, you got to taste and see His goodness. And if our God is for me, who can be against me, right? Right. Now, if you face life this week, even today, I want you to take a deep breath 3 times. Like, our God is great. Our God is good. And our God is for me. Let there be peace beyond understanding. Let there be peace beyond your problems. Beyond your challenges. Amen. You may be seated. Why don't you say hi to your friends? Back, I steal your mic, yeah? It's been EQ'd nicely for the worship leader, so I like it too. You know, I just came back from Indonesia, from Bali. Just give me a sec. Let me start my stopwatch because Om Agus and Tante Lily sudah warn saya, yeah? Awas kamu, ya. 45 minutes. I got my timer here. I'm not going to miss that. So I just came back from Indonesia. I went to Bali. Then I got a nice tent, but it's missing now because of the cold of winter in Melbourne. You know what? We went to the zoo. Have you been to Bali Zoo? Okay, it's so different, all right? It's very real. So I went there, and you can actually touch a lot of animals there. There's no boundaries. It's like you with the deer, you with the chinchilla, you with the kangaroo. You can just play around with them. It's amazing. But one time we were about to visit the Bengal tiger cage, and I'm very excited. And then before that, I make a stop in the shop, and I asked the lady who attend the shop. I was just curious, like, hey, you know, how long have you been here? Like, I'm just, you know, normally I'm very chatty, right? Hey, how long have you been here? Oh, I've been here for a long time, pa. Oh, so okay. Any interesting has happened? Any animal ran away or something? And then by surprise said, yes, pa. Yes, twice. The first one was the tiger. Yeah, the tiger went out. And then you know what? And what happened? Anybody got killed? I said, no. One of the guests spotted and they shout and all the stuff came in with the, you know, all this tranquilizer. And then they caught them. And then what happened to the next one? Oh, the next one is so cool, but it's the lion. The lion, they jump onto the a kangaroo. What it, it's like, it's more like a bird. Yeah, to the kangaroo cage. And they're trying to eat the kangaroo. So, all right, and then the next thing we went was the Bengal tiger cage. And they tried to make it really amazing, so it was just very close. It's all, just about a meter and a half. And the tiger was there, and the cage is just this hole in the cage. And I thought, okay, this is cool. I was carrying Kate on my back. And suddenly, one of my brother-in-law started making a cow noise, like, mwah, mwah. That's not good, right? Because this tiger, I think they don't get enough food in Indonesia. They're super hungry. Oh, cow! All right, I'm going to eat you. And you know what happened? He would jump at me right in front of me and Kate, just about a meter and a half away. He was just jumping like that. I said, "Row!" I can feel the breeze of his mouth. And you know what? It's so trembling. And Kate was scared. And I said, "Daddy, I don't want to hear. I don't want to go here." And then one lady next to me was start jumping. I said, "Oh, no. Do you know what? My mom straight away popped into the story of the Bible, Daniel. You remember? Do you know, if I tried to think, if I'm Daniel, if God has faced a lion or a tiger like that, remember in Daniel, the lion was very hungry. They didn't feed it purposely. And he was there, so hungry. And then just by the loud of this roar, I'm trembled. I can imagine if that in that very moment, I have to hold my faith before the Lord and say, if you don't deny God, I'm going to throw you into with the tiger. And that's become so real to me. Anyway, that was just an introduction. Today, we're going to talk about a whole heart. Get ready with your Bible. From 2 Chronicles 25, all right? Let me summarize the story. This is a very interesting story. Me and the leaders had a discussion about this topic, and we had a lot of fun with the boys, Edwin and Junius and everyone. All right, so there was a king. His name was Amaziah, okay? This king, he's the king of Judah. His name is Amaziah, and he began to reign. He reigned on when he was 25 years old, and he reigned for 29 years. And his father, Joash, was assassinated because he had forsaken the Lord. So he was assassinated, the father, yeah? Now, Amaziah went to battle to fight against the Edomites, and God was with him and guided him to victory. So God gave him the victory. He was fighting against the Edomites, and he gathered about 300,000 men of Judah, fit for war, right? Ready with spears and all that. It's not enough. He's got some spare money. So he hired mercenaries. Yeah, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel, so from another country. So for 100 talents of silver, that's a lot of money, okay? One talent is 33 kilos. So that's 3,300 kilos of silver he paid it for. But God told him through a prophet not to bring the army. God said that, no, who asked you to do this? No, don't hire the army. Too bad, you've paid for it, but don't bring the army because I'm not with this army. I'm not with the Israelites. I'm with you. And then he said it. God said it through a prophet. Luckily, Amaziah listened, and he actually dispatched and removed the army. But the army was very angry because this army, not just in for the money, they're mighty men of valor. They want battle. They want battle, right? So they were very pissed off. If I were me, I got my 3,300 kilos of silver. I don't have to go to battle. That's the best, right? But this army is different. That's why I'm not an army, okay, guys? And King Amaziah released those army with no refund, right? Let me summarize, because we're going to dissect the word later. We get you to read it together. Because of his obedience with the Lord, then he gained victory against the Edomites. So he gained victory. He was victorious. But here's what's crazy about this king. This is something crazy happened, right? Right after the victory, he brought all the gods of the enemy, which is the gods of Edomites. So he defeated all this enemy, and then he actually took all the gods, bring it home, set it up, worship the gods, and bring offerings. Now think about it. This is the gods of your enemy who can save your enemy. You beat them, okay? They're in for nothing, all right? But you took them. But Amaziah took them, brought them home, set them up, worship them, and then he brought gifts. Can you imagine? Think about it. When I was meditating about this word, I was thinking, this is ridiculous. This is rubbish. Not going to happen to me. And straight away, Holy Spirit was telling me, rebuked me and said, this happened a lot to our Christians, to a lot of people. How many times in our life have we traded God and his relationship with us for something much, much less than him? For money, for power, for career, sometimes jobs, pleasure, leisure. Just a lot of things can become an idol. Don't just think idol as a statue, but idol can be anything. It can be someone. It can be a club. It can be a hobby. How many times I've done this? I repented before the Lord and I was meditating further. What happened really here? Now, it's time to open the book now. 2 Chronicles 25. Can you open it with me, please? Second Chronicles. All right. Can you read verse 2? Okay, I will read it for you, okay? 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2, it says like this. And he did, he is Amaziah, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. This is the verse that God pointed to me when I asked him what was the root of this problem, of his problem, and my problem, and our problems. We don't give our whole heart. And this is so dangerous because not giving a whole heart, sometimes we get away thinking that we are fine. I still go to church. I still do it. I still minister. I still go to life group. We think that we're doing it, but not with the whole heart. In the context of working, sometimes you are in the office. Yeah, it's not that I don't come to the office. I do. But my heart is not there. In the context of university, you might be in a lecture like myself a long time ago. All the accounting lectures, I can't remember a thing. I couldn't remember a thing because I was sleeping. Anyway, it was not good. All right, I regretted it because now I need to learn it myself. So because my heart was not there. Have you ever in a position, can you imagine, have you ever in a position where you don't feel like you wanted to be there? Think about it, have you? Yeah, some parties, even like some parties of the friend that you don't really like that bitch about you and stuff like that. No, I don't feel like to be here, but I'm invited and all my friend goes, I just have to be here, right? And some work, some jobs, some meetings that you don't feel like to be there. Sometimes church, I don't feel like to be here, but I just have to be here. Because people, what will people think about me if I don't go to church, right? And what do we start to do when that things happen? What do? When we're in that circumstances? We jump on our phones and we open our Instagram, start checking our WhatsApps in the meetings, in the lecture, in the church. So there are a lot of things that is caused by not giving a whole heart. Look at these faces. So, they're all there. They're all on the date. But look at everybody's doing on their own. So, I'm not going to talk about social media and all the result of this. It's mind-boggling because you become anxiety. I truly believe anxiety is because of social media. It's because of the mobile phone, especially not just social media, but everything is so instant. Every time, you know, sometimes I feel like this. When I'm really, like not in the mood, like every time I hear my message ding, it's feel like, it's just like, I have to answer. There got to be something to do that I haven't done it. I forgot to do this. You know, do you experience that or just me? Half-hearted person, so it's very dangerous. Being half-hearted is not that you disobey. No, like Amaziah, you do it. But it results on partial disobey. It results on obeying with a full heart. It's not that you don't attend. You attend, but you're not there at the same time. I'm here, but I'm not here. Okay? It's not like you don't do it. You do it, but it's half-hearted. Now, here's the thing with half-hearted. When you're half-hearted for the Lord, where does the other half go? Just think about it. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 25. Now go to verse 5 and 10. These are three, I give you three characteristics of half-hearted person. Number one, we listen with benefits. You only listen the thing that you like. You only obey Lord. You only obey the Lord the thing that you like, the thing that brings you benefits, right? Well, like Amaziah, obviously, they're about to go to a battle. And about to go to a battle, you're really scared of dying. You got to win this battle or I'll die, right? Obviously, whatever the Lord says, I'll do it because it will cost my life, right? And let's read it together, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 5, yeah? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Then Amaziah assembled the men of Judah and set them by father's house under commanders of thousands and hundreds of all Judah and Benjamin. He mustered those 20 years old and upwards, and he found out there were 300,000 choice of men, fit for war, able to handle spears and shield. He hired 100,000 mighty men of valor, as I told you, from Israel, for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, with all these Ephraimites. But go act, be strong for the battle. Why should you suppose that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has the power to help or the power to cast down. Now, verse 9. And Amaziah said to the men of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the army of the Israel? So he agreed to the prophet that, yeah, I will follow you. Okay, I'll dispatch, I'll release the mighty men of valor because God said so. But I agree because if not, I'm going to lose, right? I want to win the battle. I don't want to die. But then what happened with my money? So again, the characteristics of half-hearted person, they focus on our possessions. They focus on our wants, on our needs more than God himself. It resulting in a partial obedience, right? So, and also what happened at the end is that, here's the thing, that you might notice a difference before and after the victory. So before the victory, you'll be like, oh, all good, I pray, I fast and all that. But after the battle, but once you got the victory, normally you guard down and don't care, you start forgetting about the Lord. So this is a characteristic of people who is half-hearted for the Lord. So Amaziah, once he won the victory, he forgot about God. He started to forget about God, and he started worshiping idol. That's even worse, right? So this is number one. Number two, a half-hearted person, they take credits of God's victory. Like Amaziah, let's read it, verse 2 Chronicles 25, verse 19. It says this. This is where when he met another king from Israel, Joash, and he said this. Joash said this to him. You say, so the other king said to Amaziah, yeah, you say, see, I have struck down Edom, and your heart has lifted you up in boastfulness. But now, stay at home. Why should you provoke trouble that make you fall, you and Judah with you? As this is very important. This is what we discussed with the life group leaders that night. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God allow us to take part in the battle. Yeah? He wants to work with us, so in your exams or even in reaching out in ministries, at work, facing problems, challenges, God will allow you to take part in the battle and to take part in the glory, to take part in his victory. But you know, as I was imagining Amaziah during that fight, he was nervous. He ride the horses and all that. He went to the battle, but the Spirit of the Lord was there, and the Lord was protecting him. God was fighting for him. But imagine, because he took part, he was the one who held the sword. Try to apply this to your life. You are the one who's doing it. You're the one who sing. You're the one who preach. You're the one who reach out. You're the one who says it. You're the one who delivers. Imagine, Amaziah, he was the one who held the sword. He was the commander. He was the one who asked the soldier to go attack. And he was the one who dodged the arrow. He was the one who slashed and hacked. Whoa, I'm so cool. Look at this arrow. Whoa, I just missed it because I'm so fast. Try to apply this in your life. And then you took your spears, you throw it. Wow, one hit, one shot, right? Because you take part, God allow us to take part in the battle. Sometimes it makes our heart prideful and we steal his glory. And we take credits of what he has done. And this is a problem of a half-hearted person. So different to David, right? We think that we have earned the victory, but we're not. It's all God. It's all because of God. Number three, if you want to write it down, we flirt with idols. Again, as we said earlier, how could this possible, Amaziah? But when we think about it, how could he change that fast, that instant, that drastically? It was just right after the battle. If it's just months, if it was like months after the battle, that could have been different. That was just right at the moment after the battle, and then he took all the idols and worshiped it. Think about it. But I believe that betrayals had already happened a long time ago inside his heart, because he's half-hearted. Every single betrayal comes from the heart. So Amaziah, maybe even right before, he was already half-hearted with God. He's never been whole with God. So when victory comes, that's when he actually immersed. So 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. Let's read it together, 14 to 16, yeah? Amaziah idolatry. After Amaziah came from striking down the Edomites, he brought the gods of the men of Seir and set them up as his gods and worship him, making offerings to them. Therefore, the Lord was angry with Amaziah and sent to him a prophet who said to him, "Why have you sought the gods of people who did not deliver their own people from your hand?" But as he was speaking, the king said to him, "Have we made you a royal counselor? Stop it. Why should you be struck down?" So the prophet stopped, but said, "I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel." See? Look at his result now. Before the battle, he was told by a prophet and he follows and he obeys. But now, right after the victory, with his half-hearted, the prophet told him and he told him off. He actually rebuked the prophet and decided not to obey him. Can you imagine? So this is a result of a half-hearted person. Maybe there is something that he needs. That's why sometimes we go to idols. Because sometimes we are looking for pleasure. Or we are looking for something that we want. Sometimes we are looking for something that we desire. Some Bible scholars think that Amaziah was actually praying for fertility. He has only one son, and I think the Edomites gods was known to have is the god of fertility or something like that. But we don't want to go there. That's something that I read. But whichever good and pleasurable, whichever benefits for me, that's where I'm going, right? Because our focus is not in God. So what is behind all this? Why would you refuse to give your whole heart? What is the core? What is the root of all this? Number one, okay, we got to go fast. Number one, our sinful nature. Because of the fall in the garden, you know that incident when we fall into sin? Our nature, we become like we have our flesh desire, our fleshly desire. But remember, yeah, we don't get stuck on it. Jesus has done it. The work is done. I mean, he gave his life for us. He gives a salvation to us. He gave us the freedom. That's what through grace we are transformed. It's not an excuse anymore. Galatians 5, verse 24 says this, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Amen? So it's not no longer an excuse. Jesus has given us the solutions of this problem. This is the first root of the problem, our sinful nature. The second reason why we don't give our whole heart is fear and insecurity. Do you know that fear and insecurity is the root of all pride? Because of the sin, the original sins in the garden, we lost our identity as God's friend, as God's children, and we become insecure because we see problems bigger than him, we see troubles, challenges, and all that. Because of our insecurity, then we run away to other things. Because of insecurity, we come to pride. They manifest through pride because we lost our identity. So fear and insecurity. Galatians 2, verse 20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Jesus has given us the solution. He's given us the way. Because he knows our insecurity will cause us to have pride before God. God used to be more than enough, but because of sin, then we fall into this trap. And number three is disappointment and bitterness. Sometimes you don't want to give your whole heart because you're scared of getting hurt, right? Sometimes out of your experience, you experience bitterness. I love you that much and then you betray me? Disappointment and bitterness will cause you not to give your whole heart. You know, from my own experience, like, you know, with my ex-girlfriends, I had one that hurt me so much. And from that day, I said, I promised myself, I'm not going to love anyone fully ever again. You hurt me too much. No, really. I was really good, you know. I was really faithful. Really. I was really faithful. Before that time, so I was really faithful. And then because of that outrage, I became like, I don't want to give my whole heart. Not until an angel come from the above named Maggie. You stolen my heart. Anyway, so yeah, but it's true. Out of my experience, I don't want to give my heart anymore because it feels so painful. I used to love you. I give you everything. And then what is this, right? But God can mend it all, right? This is the cure. If you want to take this home again, this is a good one. This is a good one, I promise you. All the cure of bitterness and hurt is only one thing. And I thought it's like, oh, the cure of my bitterness is for him to change, for her to change, right? But the only cure is here in Ephesians 4, verse 31. It's forgiveness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So if you are hurt today, the way, the solution to that bitterness is for you to forgive. Because the Lord God, our Christ, Jesus Christ, has already forgiven us as well. Amen? Amen. So we're good? This is what God wants, All right. See, I made it really quick. I'm so happy. What the Bible said it from Deuteronomy, and then Jesus said it again. This is Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His way, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And Jesus repeated again. He said like this, you shall love the Lord. This is when the Pharisees asked Jesus, what is the great and the highest commandment, the first commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Isn't that amazing? God wants all of your hearts. He wants it all because He's given it all to you. He's given it all to us. He wants us to give this whole heart, but I know giving a whole heart is an issue of trust. Are we able to trust Him? Do you know trust requires a process? Today you might learn to trust Him to walk with you with your exams. But tomorrow He wants you to learn to trust Him more than just exams. Tomorrow maybe I will learn to trust Him about my partner in life. Maybe tomorrow and then next week maybe He wants to trust Him about my visa, maybe about my job. Maybe a month from now, God will bring you to trust Him about my career. Lord, I have so little money. I have not enough to feed my family, and I'm desperate. Maybe the Lord will take you there, and He will take you there. Only if you give your whole heart for Him to trust Him. And what He wants is for you to learn to trust Him about your life, about our whole life. There are a lot of issues in my heart too, you know. There are a lot of things that I fear, I'm fearing about. But I'm learning. I identify it. The Lord identified it. He searched my heart and I brought it before Him. And Lord, this is my weakness. This is my fear. And this is the area that I might not be able to trust you. Help me to trust you. Do you know David is far from perfect? David is far from perfect. His heart, but he gave his whole heart to God. That's why God called him, he is the man after my own heart. The first, and when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart, the one who will do all my will. This is what I believe. A half-hearted heart is compromised. A half-hearted heart is already compromised anyway. It's just about time for you to fall into sin. It's just about time for you to betray Him. Because a half-hearted heart is already compromised. Where betrayals are planned. You know what I believe, and I'm speaking in through my heart and through my faith, that God is preparing for another and more victory for this church. Amen? That's why the battle is here. The battle is now. But the battle is the Lord. And before we experience victory, we want to make sure that we have our whole heart given solely for Him. Because then, if we experience victory with a half-hearted heart, we're going to fall onto the trap of pride. And we're going to worship idols. Before God give this church 1,000 more people, we got to make sure we here understand that we need a whole heart to serve Him. And I believe the victory is about to come for this church, for all the generations, for all the people from different nations to come. Not just two services, but five services. There will be people serving you from different nations on the platforms. We'll be going to nations to preach the gospel. But before that happened, before all the miracles that God has been preparing in your life, in your financials, in your families, breakthroughs, make sure that we serve Him with a full heart. So that when we get the victory, we glorify Him. We'll come to Him and we acknowledge Him. Part one of the biggest things being a Christian is that you need to acknowledge that He has done it all. That His work is a finished work. God has done it all on the cross. And it's all because of Him and through Him. And God bless you. Jesus bless you. Amen.
Church, can I please invite you all to stand once more?
For the word, let's together come to the Lord with our whole heart. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lift up your hand, church, and receive the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything. Just want to give our life to you, our whole heart to you, not partially. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. He'll give you His peace and favor upon your life. Let's walk with God and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit every day in our heart, in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a blessed Sunday.